Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Today is November the 1st, and we're 21 days away from Thanksgiving. That's pretty hard to believe, considering how warm it's been. Last week, we talked about your chakras and keeping the organs in those chakras healthy. And I wanted to give you a couple of final tips on how to clear your chakras if you feel like there's stagnant energy in them. There is a concept that's called tapping. And tapping's been around for a long time, and it's very, very effective. But you can use it on the chakras. And what happens is that you tap on each one that you believe might not be as working as effectively as you want it. You kind of feel like there is something holding you back. So we're going to start at the crown, and we're going to work our way down to the root chakra. So the crown one, if you recall, is just slightly above the top of your head. And you're going to tap lightly on the top of your head and say to yourself while you're tapping, I am balanced between heaven and earth. The next one down was the third eye, and that's in the middle of your forehead. And this is the area that represents intuition, imagination, the ability to see things for what they are, maybe having some psychic skills. And so as you tap lightly again on that third eye, you would be saying, I will trust my intuition. The throat chakra is the next one down. And this one is about speaking your truth, communication, being able to express yourself. And as you tap lightly there, you would say, I can speak my truth with ease. And this is an area where an awful lot of people have difficulty saying how they feel. And so that might be an area that you need to work on. The heart chakra is next. Of course, it's in the middle of your chest, and it has a focus of love, relationships, inner healing, loving yourself as well as others. So as you tap lightly there, you're going to say, I am letting go of all things that no longer serve my higher good. The solar plexus is next, and that is above your belly button. Your sense of personal power is here, including personal choices and the actions that you take in your life. So with this one, you're going to say, I will achieve my goals with ease. So it doesn't seem like it's just this insurmountable barrier that you can't get across. The sacral is next, and that is just below the belly button. There you have your creativity, your childlike playfulness is there. It also represents sexuality, creativity. And so as you tap lightly there, you're going to be saying, I am whole and complete. And then finally, you have the root chakra itself, and that's at the base of the spine. So it's a little harder to get to, but what you do is it's as though you're calling a puppy, and you're going to be tapping the top of your thighs with the flat part of your hand. So with both thighs, you tap lightly and you say, I am safe and I am grounded. Finally, from last week, I've had a couple of people say, well, what about if you're in a room that energetically has a lot of negativity? How do you clear a room? Well, there's a couple of kind of basic things you can do. One is to go green. Plants are an awesome natural filter for negative energy. Another thing you can do is work with salt, just simple table salt. And you don't put a lot, but you kind of sprinkle the room with salt. Also, you can burn white sage. When I was teaching, if we had a particularly negative day in the classroom, this is when I was doing some elementary and middle school teaching years ago, but we would burn white sage because that does take care of negative energy. Essential oil room spray. You can spray lavender or one of the citrus blends. And another one that is commonly used, actually, if you can find some small pieces of black tourmaline and place them in the four corners of the room, that works very effectively as well. The only thing you have to watch for there is if you have pets, that they don't go and move them or try to chew them up. So those are the things that I wasn't able to get to last week, and I did want to leave you with some of those helpful tips. All right, now today's show is about vibrational frequencies, and I think this one is just a ton of fun. Nikola Tesla once said that if you want to find the secret of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequencies, and vibrations. So we once thought that the Earth was flat. It turns out it was round. And then we thought that the center of, that we thought that we were the center of the universe, that the Earth was, and it wasn't. And then we believed that the Milky Way was the only galaxy, but it turns out that wasn't true either. We're one of billions, literally, of galaxies. So our frame of knowledge is constantly changing, since science is showing us new truths all the time. And they refer to these as new paradigms. One of these truths is that of the law of vibration, and that it is real. And so, you know, it's a concept that's fairly new to most people. Seeing is believing for the general public. I think if we can't see it or touch it or smell it or use one of our senses, that we have a sense that it can't really be true. But before the invention of the microscope, people would have thought you were crazy if you said that there were these small little creatures that were running around all over your skin. They would not have understood what you were even talking about because they couldn't see them. And again, if they couldn't see them, then how could it be real? But today, we understand things a lot differently. I think if you use a dog whistle as an example for some individuals to illustrate this point, you know, it helps them kind of get that aha moment. But we know that dogs can't detect sounds that are they're undetectable to the human ear. They can detect them and we can't. And so that's an acceptable fact for most individuals. But if we were to tell somebody that we would be able to surf the internet, you know, even 25 years ago, 20 years ago, unless you were working in computer science, you didn't have a clue as to what they were even talking about. So all matter has this vibrational frequency, and that includes both animate and inanimate objects. So, you know, a plant has energy, obviously, but so does a chair. But we sit in a chair because the molecules and atoms in the chair are closer together than ours. If you've ever been in Japan, they have Japanese gardens there that are absolutely amazing. And there's an energy called Haido. And this concept has existed in Japan for centuries. The word means wave or move, and they try to design their gardens with that same kind of energetic vibration as you walk through them. So the study of Haido explains that the energetic vibrations from our thoughts, if you're actually studying that, that the vibrations of our thoughts create a reality. So I'm going to fast forward you a few hundred years from Japan and that particular movement to the study of quantum physics today. So quantum physics teaches us that all objects vibrate. And it also teaches us that like energies attract each other. So Albert Einstein, who created the law of relativity, said everything in the universe vibrates at different speeds. Now, traditional physics, if it's being taught, whether it's at a high school level or a college level, it still encompasses the study of laws that govern things like gravity. But these same scientists, as we have moved forward in time, have discovered that there are smaller particles in the universe and that they are controlled very differently. And so they created the study of quantum physics. This science realizes that every cell wobbles, it waves, it vibrates, and it has different patterns. And these patterns are referred to as quarks. That's Q-U-A-R-K-S if you want to look that up. So quarks are your electromagnetic strings, and they obey your thoughts. And that's kind of cool if they actually obey what we're thinking. So when you have a critical mass of vibrationally matching quarks, you are able to manifest whatever you're thinking about. The danger is that sometimes we think about negative things rather than positive things. It's probably about 50% of the time. So have you ever thought about what you would like to manifest? Maybe a love interest, maybe a new home. How about an amazing job or travel opportunities? So this is actually how the law of attraction works. You vibrate to the frequency of whatever thoughts you have. Have any of you ever created a vision board? So I have one in my office. I've had it for years, and it has different things up on it. But the way we do a vision board is you can take like a regular cork board and put things on it that you want to bring into your life. And if it's someplace that you sit on a regular basis, then your eyes are naturally going to gravitate to that vision board. And you will begin to manifest those things into your life. What's very interesting is that scientists have discovered that it takes only 17 seconds for your thoughts to have the power to create. 17 seconds is not very long. And this is the reason we have to be so aware of our thoughts. They are incredibly powerful. When a person is having an MRI, the effects of a person's thoughts can actually be observed when a physician is talking to the patient about various things. And that's because the brain literally lights up in different centers. So if some of the thoughts are fear-based, it's going to light up in one area. If some of the thoughts maybe are more technical, it's going to light up someplace else. So we know how the brain actually lights up, and we know that our thought centers are scattered throughout our brain. So each center that lights up basically is emitting a different chemical. And then these chemicals cause different feelings in our body. And it's right where those chakras are that I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. So you have organs in the chakras, and you have six of them in your body. And when you have an MRI done, your brain is sending information based on your feelings to one of those chakras. And hopefully it's beginning to make a little sense to you how our bodies are not only complex, but that they are feeling organisms. They are energetic. They vibrate. All right, so how do the frequencies flow through the chakras then? All right, so I've talked to you a lot about grounding and that root chakra being so important. So what happens is that the core of the earth itself has frequencies. And those frequencies move up through the bottom of your feet into your body. And that's why if you're going to be grounded, you don't have your shoes on. You know, you take your shoes off and you get your bare feet on the grass, on the ground, on the sand, but it needs to be the bottoms of your feet. And so that is where the energy is going to first. It's moving up through your feet and into that root chakra. The energetic flow then moves along your spine. And if you recall, the chakras are kind of stacked along the spine, all the way up to the crown chakra, which is slightly above your head. So let's look at our health for just a second from a vibrational level. So what I have seen is that health is the integrated and balanced state of all of these vibrations that make up a person, an individual. Disease itself is seen as a lack of balance. And when you're not balanced, then those frequencies that are inside of your body are obviously out of balance. And then the organs that are in those chakras are going to be out of balance as well. So the examples of positive vibrations would be things like love, harmony, peace, kindness, understanding, compassion, gratitude. Those are all very positive emotions that we can work on having as part of who we are on a daily basis. Negative emotions are not bad. We all have them. We're human beings. But these emotions become harmful when you base your words and actions upon them. So it's perfectly okay to feel angry about something, but you can still make a conscious choice to act out of love. And when you do this, then you're raising your vibration from one of anger to one of love. So changing your thoughts and actions will actually help to raise that vibrational frequency. And you can see that if you stay kind of rooted in, let's say, negative emotions of anger or jealousy or, just stress from whatever is going on in your life, that your vibrational energy is going to be affected. It's going to bring it down substantially. So the law of attraction teaches us that when we spend time focusing on our fears, we actually attract those very things to us. We can't get out of our own way when we're doing that. Likewise, if we expect life to give us positive outcomes, it normally does. And this is not a Pollyanna approach to life. What we're finding out through science is that our thinking really and truly does give us what we visualize and focus on. So the more aware you are of what your thoughts are doing and then making the necessary changes, the more likely you will have the life you really want. There is an expression I know everybody's heard, going with the flow. And obviously that's a metaphor that applies to a river. But when you follow the flow, you're going with the current. You don't have to fight it so hard. And I think an awful lot of us, certainly a lot of the people I saw in my practice, they were constantly swimming upstream. They were fighting the flow instead of learning to go with it. With all of us being open to multiple ways of getting to our destination is what's important. It doesn't have to be just one way. There are many ways to get there. You might even need to change your original travel route in order to get where you want to go. Being aware of an energy that is greater than who we are is another important thing. Sometimes we're fearful that if we don't get to our destination, our life is over. Everything that we wanted in life is gone. So we cling to plans that aren't really working for us. And if you can learn to trust that your life has a much bigger plan for you, then you don't have to be fearful. You can toss out the things that are weighing you down. I think some of us, when we move, take everything with us rather than sorting and kind of figuring out what we haven't used and what we're not going to use and maybe donating that. And maybe that's what we have to do in our personal life, is sort through the things that we're hanging on to and getting rid of the things that are no longer serving us. So how do you raise your vibrational level? I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Number one is going to be to become more conscious of your thoughts. And we've already touched on that quite a bit this morning. But, you know, a lot of people want something more in life. And when you talk to them, you know, they can tell you all the things they would like to have. But they use the words, I can't. You know, that I wish I could do this. And then they follow that up almost immediately with the term, but I can't. And then they give you reasons why they can't do something. And of course, that isn't really true. Anyone can achieve their goals and their dreams, but they do have to change their mindset in order to make that happen. History is literally filled with people who made the so-called impossible possible. And how did they do that? And I think the way they do it is they tap into the world within us, which is the power of thought. The way you think and feel actually dictates the reality that you have. The second thing you can do is find something beautiful in your life. So look around you and recognize that there is literally beauty everywhere. Go to a park and just sit there. Observe wildlife. You know, look up at the sky. Utilize as many of those five senses, as I've talked about in past weeks, as you can to take in your world. And so you may not be able to taste unless you're in some part of the world that has snow. And then if you're sitting outside, you know, taste a snowflake. But use your senses, your hearing, your sight, your touch. You know, use those to acquaint yourself with all the beauty that is around you. The third thing you can do is to be much more conscious of the food that you eat. And we did talk about that over the last couple of weeks, how you feed your chakras. Based upon the color of the chakra, those are the foods that you need to be incorporating into your diet. So some foods vibrate at very high frequencies, and some are much lower. Things like broccoli, and I know a lot of kids don't like broccoli, a lot of adults don't, but blueberries, those are really, really high in frequencies. Big Macs, however, they don't vibrate at all. So if you're consuming foods with a lot of chemicals in them, it's going to leave you vibrating at a lower level. And then conversely, if you're consuming good quality, maybe even organic produce, that's going to allow you to vibrate at a higher frequency. The other thing that I think is pretty critical is look at how the food makes you feel after you eat it. So if you feel more energized and just have a healthier sense about you, then that's probably a good food for you to eat. So be aware of that. Be aware of how you feel after you've eaten certain kinds of food. The fourth thing you can do is drink more water. The toxicity in our bodies has an impact on our vibrational level. So a minimum of eight ounce glasses of water is still recommended per day. And I think some people do a really good job of that because they have those big containers and they pour 64 ounces of water into it and they make sure that they've had that at the end of their day. And they know that they have because the container is empty. But others probably don't do nearly as good a job. So just, you know, be aware again of flushing your system with as much water as you can. The fifth thing you can do is to meditate. And we've talked about that considerably. But that whole mindfulness is easy as far as meditation's concerned. It does produce amazing benefits. And if you have problems focusing on your breath, you can always use a mantra that we talked about, like I am at peace. And that sort of keeps that monkey brain from chattering away at you. And sometimes it just never wants to be quiet. So you can be meditating and it's telling you all the things you still have to do, you know, in the afternoon or evening. Be sure that you're breathing through your nose and out through your mouth. And try to do it to a slow count of 4 to 5 seconds. Practicing gratitude is something else you can do to raise your frequency. At the end of your day, try journaling. try writing down at least 3 to 5 things that were amazing that happened to you that day. Practicing acts of kindness is something else that I like to do. When you're feeling abundant, that vibrational level goes up. So think of something that you could do at least once every day to make someone else's life better. Maybe it's just going to be to smile at them, or maybe opening a door for somebody. And, you know, instead of rushing ahead of them, hold it for them and let them go through first. So a little side note on that whole thing about giving and receiving is there is actually a law that says every giver needs a receiver. And what is it that makes us so uncomfortable about receiving? And I think, you know, we have to kind of look at ourselves individually to figure that one out. Almost all of us love to give, but a lot of us have great difficulty receiving. And so receiving simply means that we have to open our hearts and become a vessel, you know, to let go of control and just let it happen. And the nicest thing you can say to somebody who's giving something to you, even if it's a compliment, is just thank you. The 8th thing you can do is exercise. So vibration, if you think about it, it requires movement, right? Anything that vibrates moves. And so we have to move as well in order to vibrate at a higher frequency. So you can walk, you can garden, you can swim. One of the things that I've said to myself that I want to learn how to do is Tai Chi. And there's a new Tai Chi center in Dunedin, Florida. So some of you that are in this area might want to take a look. It's going to be their international center, and they're having their grand opening on November the 3rd. So if you happen to be in and around Dunedin, you know, take a look at it. They have classes there on a regular basis. So if your vibrational levels increase, one of the things that may happen is something that's called synchronicity. And we've all had those experiences. You think of someone and they call you. Maybe you walk into a store and the person that you had been thinking about getting in touch with is standing there. It happens to me frequently. So the theory was first presented by a Swiss psychologist by the name of Carl Jung. And he said you are responsible for your own synchronicities because of what you think about, that you manifest those things into your life. Synchronicities happen for most of us on a daily basis, but we're not tuned into it. And the way I like to explain it is that we're kind of like a radio frequency. And so if we're not tuned into that station, then we can't hear it. We can't see it. So we have to find that we're tuning in to these synchronistic events. Sometimes they will move you on a different path. Sometimes they will actually protect you. And many years ago, my husband and I were getting ready to drive from Indianapolis, Indiana, back to St. Louis. And somehow we kept getting delayed. It was very, very unusual because we normally, you know, would leave at a certain time to head back. And it turns out that there was a bad accident with a number of people that had been killed. And had we left on time, we very well might have been in that mix. So I know he told me after that, whenever I had those feelings, to let him know because he would trust them. There are 3 words that some of you may be a little familiar with. We're not going to have time to go into them too much, but the differences between synchronicity, precognition, and clairvoyance, they're all very, very similar. But if you listen to your intuition, if you listen to your gut, that is when you're going to begin to be aware of synchronistic events in your life. So I think it might be time for a lot of you to open your puzzle box, and that's you. Begin to take out those pieces, and I think you're going to be amazed at the beautiful picture that's going to begin to slowly emerge. Thank you for joining me this week on the Synergy Connection Show. Next week, I have a special guest. Trey Malicote is going to be joining us, and he will be explaining a lot of what he does in Upsize Your Soul. Have a great day, everyone. Make it your best life.